Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm going to be mostly discussing the precious metals as I am chatting with Dave Erfley, founder and editor of the Junior Miner Junkie. Dave, let's balance out some of these recent moves and importantly the bounces that have come for gold and some of the ETFs. Now, balancing out gold, GDX, and GDXJ, if we isolate gold and GDXJ, both managed to bounce off that strong support, or at least it looks like strong support, from that late November low. However, you go over to GDX, and GDX actually broke below that November low. It was marginally, but fact of the matter is, it did make a lower low in this whole, whether you call it a pennant formation or now just a continued downtrend in something like GDX. What's the significance here, and how do you balance out the discrepancy between what gold and GDX did, managed to hold that low, and GDX actually breaking below it?
Yeah, it's really whipsaw city down here, you know, the past few weeks in the precious metal sector. You take a look at the GDX, and it's like you said, it's made a lower low, and the GDXJ has not made a lower low. And the gold price is also attempting to make a double bottom here, but the GDX is continues to show relative weakness, which is basically hinting that hey, this double bottom in gold might not hold. And you know, there's a lot of stops down there around 1765. So if the bears are able to get the gold price down below 1765 and run those stops, it could run down to, you know, 1710, 1720, and the stronger support level is 1690, 1700. But if you take a if you pull back and take a look at the long term chart, it's basically a bullish falling wedge, the GDX. You know, it's not nearly, and the trajectory is not nearly as sharp as the one that took place back in mid 2016, that where we saw a huge run up of like 180%. In the GDXJ, and then a sharp decline after that. I mean, we had an 180% run in the GDXJ this time from the March low, and it hasn't been a very sharp decline. It's been a healthy decline, but it is getting to levels where a lot of people are starting to be concerned. And if you take a look at the HUI, the really strong critical level is 250 on the HUI. I wouldn't like to see that closed below on a weekly closing basis. And we also got the month end close coming up here. You know, we got so much going on this week. We've got options expiration on tomorrow, and we've got Powell on Capitol Hill. He really didn't say much today. The grilling ended a few minutes ago, and he really didn't say much. And then he goes to the House tomorrow. So the gold price hasn't really reacted much, but the shares are down today because the stock market's down. So kind of a lot of interesting things going on right now.
There are a lot of interesting things. And then you carry it over to another precious metal that a lot of people talk about. That is silver. Silver is a vastly different chart. Over these last 7 months, as gold has been just steadily correcting, silver has been stuck in this range. It did correct, but the correction lasted maybe half of that period of time, and it has moved right back higher, testing out the higher part of its range. You could argue it's a nice kind of U-shaped bottom that we're seeing here, but the big discrepancy here obviously being silver pulled up by its industrial uses. Just look at what copper's doing. Any balance or any relationship that you're seeing between gold and silver then?
Yeah, I mean, if you were to tell me, if you were to pull up charts, I didn't know anything about the precious metal sector, and you brought up a silver chart and you brought up a gold chart and told me they were both precious metals charts, I would say you were lying. I mean, you take a look at the silver chart and it looks vastly different. It's a very bullish chart, and the gold chart is still short-term bearish. I mean, even after we had all the volatility come into the silver market and that attempted silver squeeze a few weeks ago, if you look at the weekly chart, it continues to rise. It continues to rise with its upper Bollinger band. If you take a look at the gold price, the gold price closed on its lower Bollinger band last week, while the silver tested its upper Bollinger Band last week. So yeah, it's a totally two totally different markets right now for gold and silver. You've got a combination of a lot of the retail still trying to push the price up, along with 60% of silver being used for industrial purposes for this green energy movement. It continues to bring more bids into the silver price. It looks like it's going to test that strong resistance at $30 again. And if it's able to clear $30 on a weekly closing basis, I mean, it could run to 40 really quickly. If you take a look at the shares, a lot of them have backed off a bit because they ran ahead so far ahead of silver. But if you take a look at the SILJ, it's quietly making 52-week highs again, while the SIL is lagging a bit, kind of like the GDX is still lagging the GDXJ a bit. So there's so many factors to consider here while the gold price and the shares are trying to make a sustainable bottom. And as far as the gold price is concerned, this is all happening around that $1,800 level, which is an extremely important level. You know, we've talked about this ad nauseum on the program here about how important 1800 is. I mean, it was really strong resistance back during the last bull market, and it's trying to become really strong support. And the miners have yet to reflect that 1800 has become a strong support level yet. I think once the market feels that 1800 has become strong support, that's when the miners will make their when the miners will complete their consolidation process.
Yeah, fact of the matter is we need more interest in the sector too. We've talked about it over the last almost 6 months now, is that people are distracted, and understandably so. Other markets are doing many more productive things for their portfolio. Let's also discuss yields, because that is one thing that has definitely put a headwind into the precious metals, especially gold, as the long end has continued to rise. But now the 10-year is at just about 1.4%. This was historically support, but then once broken, seems to be quite strong resistance now. How important are yields, especially at this level on the long end?
Yeah, they're incredibly important. I mean, that's the main thing that's been keeping the gold price under pressure is the significant rise in the 10-year yield. If you pull back to a 10-year chart of the 10-year, the level it's at right now, 1.37, 1.38, right around there, it was really strong support going back from 2012 to 2019. And once it broke that support, it just took a dump, and that's what started the gold bull market again. But it's ran up to that level, and now the stock market is starting to pay attention to that. And if the 10-year gets anywhere near the 1.5% level, I would think that the Fed's going to have to step in with the yield curve control program that they've threatened to use eventually. The next Fed meeting is coming up here in the middle of March, and I was expecting to have at least one of these senators bring this up. What I've read, I don't think anybody really brought it up, but that's what the market is really concentrating on here. That and the 1.9 trillion dollar stimulus package that they're trying to pass, which Powell really didn't comment on either. He goes to the House tomorrow, so maybe one of the congressmen in the House will say something. That's really important. If that begins to roll over, it's really overbought here. If that begins to roll over, then that's going to really put some wind behind the gold price.
Yeah, it's been interesting to listen to Powell and the Fed over this period of time, because they have been quiet. And a lot of the gold bugs, they put a lot of faith in what Powell could do in terms of more stimulus, all that. It seems like a lot of gold bugs are pointing to the Fed to do something, because unfortunately for them, all the stimulus we've seen out of the government, at least recently, maybe has already been priced in or just hasn't had that sort of impact. We'll see if this next stimulus bill does have any impact. One final comment before we leave this discussion here, Dave, is options expiration. coming up for gold and silver. You pointed out to me off mic that we are seeing some very high delivery requests. What do you take away from this? And give us a little recap of the data you're seeing in terms of option expiration and deliveries.
Yeah, Corey, as of yesterday's CME information in the gold options, over 34,633 contracts are set for delivery. So that's almost 3.5 million ounces of gold. And as far as the silver is concerned, it's over 10 million ounces of silver that are set to be delivered. And if you take a look at, especially in silver, if you take a look at the prices on a lot of these coin websites like Ampex, the premiums are still pretty high, over 25%. So physical is still really tough to get. And from the people I've talked to, they say that supply probably won't really start to loosen up until it gets back up to around $50 an ounce. And I just thought that was kind of incredible, but I talked to more than one. So, there still is a concentrated movement out there to try to buy as much physical as possible. And it's starting to have an effect. But, that $30 level is really strong resistance. So it's really going to be interesting if it can get past there. And we're getting close to that now. It's going to be interesting to see what happens on first notice delivery day, which is the day after the options expiration, and that is on Thursday. So this has brought some volatility into the sector too. But we'll see how it all pans out. As far as the shares are concerned, my account's been really whipsawed for yesterday and today. I mean, I saw a big jump up yesterday. My account was up 6%, and then the first hour of trade today, that 6% gain was gone immediately, which tells me that a lot of yesterday's action was short covering. We didn't get any follow through today, and we got a lot of selling coming in early today. So this sector is still trying to carve out a bottom, and it's starting to get really volatile down here.
Okay. Yeah, hopefully it does start to carve out a bottom, or hopefully for all those people that hold shares in precious metals companies, myself included. Dave, just a final comment then. When it comes to delivery from options expiration date, does it matter? It seems to be something that a lot of the gold bugs talk about, and they all say, oh, the market's going to be broken if everybody requests delivery. Is this a concern? Does this matter for longer-term market moves?
No, it's the fundamentals that matter the most. As long as the market remains in a bullish uptrend, I'm going to remain bullish. If we see some spikes, I might sell into that spike. If I probably will sell into that spike if some of my positions spike as well. The bottom line is, in the longer term, it's the fundamentals that mean more than anybody trying to manipulate the price higher or lower.
All right, Dave, we're going to wrap it up there. It's always great chatting with you, buddy. And quite frankly, hey, maybe the precious metals are going to bounce here, but either way, you can see what's happening in silver and other commodities. Those are running. And that does seem to be the trend of these markets. Really, over the last years, rotation into different sectors that continues. So whether you want to believe it or not, or accept it or not, that's what's happening. Dave, great chatting with you, buddy. I will post a link to your website, the Junior Miner Junkie. And I'll chat with you next week. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Corey. Look forward to it.